This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Momentum for NAFTA. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, August 30th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. and Canada have suggested they're on course to beat tomorrow's deadline for renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Memorial services have begun for the late Senator John McCain of Arizona.
A Texas cop gets 15 years for fatally shooting an unarmed teenager.
And tracing your approach to personal finance right back to your parents.
Approximately the same number of people said their parents felt uncomfortable about debt as, you know, said that they themselves feel uncomfortable about debt. So it does seem to be something that sort of is taught in families.
MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna says if you tend to rack up credit card debt, your parents may have done the same. She's here in about 20 minutes. The U.S. and Canada are indicating they're on track to meet tomorrow's deadline to revise the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Trump said at the White House yesterday that Canada very much wants to make the deal. The Trump administration had set the deadline for Canada to join a preliminary accord the U.S. and Mexico had achieved earlier this week, or risk being left out.
They're in the White House right now. We're negotiating with them right now, and they want to be a part of the deal. And we gave till Friday, and I think we're probably on track. We'll see what happens.
But it was unclear if progress was made on two critical issues, Canada's effort to preserve NAFTA's existing dispute resolution system, and the Trump administration's goal to gain more access to Canada's dairy market. Neither side disclosed what was discussed yesterday. For Canada, remaining part of the 24-year-old trilateral pact is crucial to a trade-dependent economy. With about three-quarters of its exports going to the U.S., an agreement would give Mr. Trump significant bragging rights as a negotiator and tactician. A former Texas police officer has been sentenced to 15 years in jail for the deadly shooting of a teenager in suburban Dallas. The cop is white. The victim was black. The same jury that convicted 38-year-old Roy Oliver of murder on Tuesday deliberated for several hours before deciding his prison sentence yesterday for the death of 15-year-old Jordan Edwards. Dallas County DA Faith Johnson.
We love our police. We trust them. We know that they are committed to making certain that the people of Dallas County, the people are safe, secured. So we love them. We support the police. However, we do not support bad apples.
Mr. Oliver, along with another officer, had responded to reports of underage drinking in Balch Springs, about 15 miles southeast of Dallas. Prosecutors said Mr. Oliver fired his rifle several times into a car with several teens inside. Mr. Edwards was struck in the head and killed. Mr. Oliver's defense argued that the vehicle was a threat to his partner and he was reacting to save him. Memorial services are underway for the late Arizona Senator John McCain. During a private ceremony yesterday, Governor Doug Ducey remembered Mr. McCain as a senator and internationally known figure, as well as a major figure in the history of Arizona.
This was a life well lived. There's a void bigger than the Grand Canyon that John McCain has left.
Later in the afternoon, the Capitol opened to the public to pay its respects. Among those who stood in line in the intense Arizona heat was Linda Gordon, who called him a true American.
Just blessed to know that, how much he loved us and cared for us as Americans. And I just wanted to say thank you to him.
This morning, there will be a procession through Phoenix on the way to a memorial service at the North Phoenix Baptist Church, with the public invited to line the route along Interstate 17. Mr. McCain's wife, Cindy, and his children were all in attendance yesterday, their first appearance since he died of brain cancer on Saturday. Yesterday would have been his 82nd birthday. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Senate Republicans say they would like Arizona Governor Doug Ducey to appoint a successor to the late Senator John McCain, who, unlike Mr. McCain, would support GOP legislation to repeal Obamacare. More on the politics of Mr. McCain's replacement from Alexander Bolton, staff writer at The Hill. Alex, what are you hearing?
Well, what Senate Republicans are saying is that while they are giving tribute to John McCain this week, they want Arizona Governor Doug Ducey to pick someone in a different mold, someone who, unlike McCain, would vote with them to repeal Obamacare. And while Obamacare did take a big hit this year when Republicans repealed the individual mandate, there's still a lot of it left. And so they want someone to replace McCain who will vote reliably to repeal Obamacare, and they're hoping they can hang on to control of the House so they can take another shot at this priority next year.
What does Governor Ducey say about that?
Well, I mean, Ducey is keeping his own counsel. I mean, there are a number of people on the list, one of whom is former Arizona Senator John Kyle, and he is expected to be someone who would vote to repeal Obamacare, and probably some of the other people there, too. Ducey is viewed as someone who's a more reliable conservative than McCain, and that's according to a senior Senate Republican aide I spoke to. During the Obamacare repeal debate in 2017, Ducey kind of went back and forth. Arizona expanded Medicaid, opted to expand Medicaid under Obamacare. They accepted the federal funding, and so that helped increase health coverage in the state of Arizona. I think between years 2013 and 2016, there was almost a increase in 500,000 people who had health insurance in Arizona, largely because of that law. But in the end, in the final analysis, there was a conversation between Ducey and McCain before McCain's historic vote in December of last year, where Ducey said, well, on the whole, I think this is worth voting for. And McCain did not follow Ducey's advice. He famously voted against the bill and killed the effort. So it looks like Ducey, if he wants to take this law down like he advised McCain last year, he'd have to pick someone whom he knows will, you know, vote the way he originally recommended.
Wow, is that the litmus test right now? You can have the seat if you vote to repeal Obamacare?
I mean, it's nothing explicit from Ducey. I mean, he hasn't said that, but that is what GOP senators say that they would like Ducey to do, is pick someone who's going to be a reliable vote on that issue. So, I mean, that's what my article's about. I mean, I don't know what is in Ducey's head. He is, I think, up for re-election this year. Mm. And, you know, this is obviously a tough issue in the state of Arizona. So, because so many people got health insurance as a result of that law. So, you know, what Ducey ends up doing, we'll see.
Yeah. We're speaking with Alexander Bolton, staff writer at The Hill. He's written an interesting piece entitled GOP Eyes Another Shot at Obamacare Repeal After McCain's Death. What about, besides, I guess, just a vote to repeal Obamacare, what about Republicans enacting something of their own?
Well, I mean, that is something, you know, that is under discussion, but that is within the context of, you know, Obamacare repeal. So whatever they do would be to unwind Obamacare. I mean, that would be part of whatever incremental reform they do, whether it's incremental or comprehensive. Chipping away at Obamacare is one of their top priorities. I mean, that hasn't changed. So Ducey, you know, in Arizona is right in the mix. He narrowly defeated Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett in the Republican primary this week, and so, but it could be a tough race. And if it is, you can expect that, you know, the future of health care reform is going to be on the agenda.
What kind of timeline might the Senate be looking at, let's say, if Ducey finds somebody who's going to vote to repeal Obamacare? Can they get a vote in sometime
soon? They're not going to do it this year just because
There
isn't time. And that's because the Republicans have not passed a budget with the reconciliation instructions that they need to avert the 60-vote filibuster threshold. So this is something that's on the, you know, that would be on the agenda for next year. Now, the big wild card, you know, if the Republicans can keep the majority in the Senate or expand it, which is possible given the map, the bigger wild card is the House, where you have Democrats needing to flip 23 seats to regain control, and 25 Republican seats are in districts that were won by Hillary Clinton.
Thanks, Alex. Alexander Bolton, staff writer at The Hill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, more than two dozen people at the Ross Correctional Institution in Chillicothe, Ohio, were treated for exposure to a dangerous drug, possibly fentanyl. 23 corrections officers, four nurses, and two inmates were exposed, all but one taken to a hospital for evaluation, but most now released. Across the state line, though, all of Pennsylvania's state prisons are locked down indefinitely due to a mysterious rash of overdose-like illnesses among employees. Dozens of prison staff members have fallen ill in recent weeks. Not clear whether the cases are linked or merely coincidental. The lockdown means no visitors and no mailroom access. Former Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Michael Kendricks is charged with illegally trading on insider tips passed along by a former Goldman Sachs investment banker, U.S. Attorney Bill McSwain.
Mr. Kendricks made a large profit from his insider trading, collecting just under $1.2 million.
Kendricks issued a mea culpa for his involvement, but his current team, the Cleveland Browns, has released him. Facing a dramatically revised death toll in Puerto Rico a year after Hurricane Maria devastated the island, President Trump is still praising his administration's handling of the aftermath.
We put a lot of money and a lot of effort into Puerto Rico, and I think most of the people in Puerto Rico really appreciate what we've done.
But that would not include San Juan's mayor, who says the Trump administration killed Puerto Ricans with neglect, her words. Hurricane Norman has developed in the eastern Pacific Ocean, one of two Category 1 storms churning west of Mexico. The National Hurricane Center expects Hurricane Miriam to weaken Friday, but forecasters expect Norman to become a major hurricane, Category 3 or higher, sometime today. Senator Cory Booker has introduced a bill that would set an 18-month moratorium on mergers in the U.S. agribusiness, food, beverage, manufacturing, and grocery retail sectors. Calling it a much-needed pause on an out-of-control industry, the New Jersey Democrat says it would establish a commission to study ways to strengthen antitrust oversight of those sectors. The partners trying to preserve Aretha Franklin's former Tennessee home have 45 days to come up with a plan to restore the crumbling house. The Shelby County Environmental Court judge gave the city of Memphis, the current homeowner and the receiver in charge of overseeing the property, until October. She was born in that house in 1942. She died August 16th and will be buried tomorrow in Detroit.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. It is 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. How do your parents feel about debt? Well, the answer may have a lot to do with your own feelings about your current financial situation. That's because new research finds that parents pass on their anxiety levels around debt to their children. More from MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. Maria, explain.
Probably not super surprising that people tend to track pretty closely with their parents in terms of how they feel about debt. So approximately the same number of people said their parents felt uncomfortable about debt as, you know, said that they themselves feel uncomfortable about debt. So it does seem to be something that sort of is taught in families.
That's interesting. All right. So the survey, did it cover, say, in some way, shape, or form, the recession? And has that changed people's thinking at all?
Right. I think it has. You know, since this was specifically looking at Swedish borrowers, it was mostly about actually in the country they have eased standards for borrowing. So the government is actually giving more assistance for mortgages and for student loans. So they didn't, you know, quite see the same dip that the U.S. has seen. But, you know, I do know from previous stories that people now have fewer credit cards on average than they did in the past. And it does seem like we've learned some longer term lessons from the Great Recession, even though our debt levels, at least in terms of consumer debt, are pretty close to, if not the same as they were during the peak of the recession. So in some ways, you know, it's not looking so good, but we also have a bigger population now. So there's a lot of different things going on there. And it does seem like we at least learned how to be less delinquent on our debts and be a little bit more conservative.
We're speaking with MarketWatch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna. Boy, when you talk about our debt currently, like, we use the T word a lot in terms of trillions.
Yes, right? That is true. Yeah, we have almost $1.5 trillion in student loan debt, more than a trillion in credit card debt. So, yeah, it's actually pretty shocking numbers. And again, it's kind of hard to visualize that when it's across the whole population. But, you know, it's it's pretty real when you look at the averages per person. So it's, I think in the U.S. we are pretty comfortable with debt, whether that's a good thing and ends up paying off, like if you make a good investment in a home and, you know, end up cashing out later. But unfortunately, we've seen too many examples of when it goes wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, you point out, too, to be fair here, if people are so afraid of debt that they don't invest in themselves, all right, well, then you perhaps have another set of financial problems.
Exactly. That's something that the research pointed out, that you know, sometimes you do have to take a little bit of a risk, and as long as that's a calculated risk and you really think it through, it can actually be a good thing. You don't want to have a whole population that's so afraid of debt that they are too afraid to invest in education and that kind of thing. So it's definitely a delicate balance.
Thanks, Maria. It's Market Watch personal finance reporter Maria LaMagna in New York. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday, August 30th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Canada seems poised to join a renegotiated NAFTA by tomorrow's deadline. Memorial services continue today for Senator McCain. Tribute concert tonight for the late Aretha Franklin. College football season kicks off tonight with 12 games. Packers sign quarterback Aaron Rodgers to an extended contract. Third round of the U.S. Open will feature Venus versus Serena. Lady Gaga posted nudes of herself on Instagram, and the goodwill gesture by a Home Depot in Florida. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's Labor Day sale for small business can save you up to 40% on select PCs with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping. Visit Dell.com/businessdeals or call 877-BUY-DELL. President Trump thinks Google's search engine is rigged. By featuring more mainstream news outlets and relatively fewer conservative sites in the results he sees, Mr. Trump accuses the search giant of suppressing right-wing views on its platform. Tech analyst Rob Enderle, founder of the Enderle Group, is here to help explain in part how Google conducts its mysterious searches. Rob, give us some of the basics.
I think one of the big basics is, you know, everybody's biased. So if you're not getting the news that you want to see, regardless of whether it's pulling the traffic, you're going to see a result that's connected to that bias. And right now, the negative ink being generated around the president likely exceeds by some significant margin the positive ink surrounding his efforts. And that means that if you search on President Trump, chances are the top results you're going to see are from the major newsrooms, and be negative, with Fox probably being the one stellar example on the other side. So it's going to look biased even if it's not. Now, Google's pretty circumspect about their algorithm. I do remember that Eric Schmidt, their then chairman and CEO, was closely connected to President Obama, and his effort, though clearly, if they'd planned to help Hillary Clinton, they were ineffective. But it is believed that they helped Obama significantly with his use of analytics and his success in his own election. So there is that connection, and there was also a lot of concern about how much they were helping that campaign on and off the record, because the company's leadership and the Obama administration was so close. So there is at least some smoke surrounding the concern that the president has raised, and I'm actually kind of surprised it took so long to go down this particular path, only because Google and Obama were so closely connected, and the president has been so, let's say, he hasn't been the most positive about the Obama administration leader there.
Yeah. So what is actually going on here then?
It really comes down to the fact is, even if it is unbiased, and let's be clear, developing an unbiased algorithm is virtually impossible until we get to a point where machines can develop it. And even then, if those machines were created with bias, that bias will pass through. So getting rid of bias once it's introduced is almost impossible, and because humans are biased and humans create these algorithms, the chance that this is biased is actually almost certain. It's just we don't know what the nature of the bias is unless you actually do some analysis and, say, run the Google search engine against others. I did do that during the Obama term, and it did look like it was favoring, when you compared it against Bing, it was favoring Obama more than Bing did, which could equally mean that Bing was biased as it would mean that Google was biased, but it was certainly an indicator that the two algorithms were working very differently.
I'm speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, talking about how Google does its searches since President Trump's accusation has brought this to the forefront. How is what Google does forced media outlets to tinker with things for themselves to try to get better recognition, obviously, on Google?
Well, that's it. Part of the issue is for everybody now is to get clicks, and that means people that actually read and see the article, and so you see bizarre behavior. We call them clickbait. Headlines that have really nothing to do with the story. And so it gets people to go into the story. And they realize, well, now you're into it. It has nothing to do with what you saw. President Trump had relations with a goat or something, and you get in and you find out they're talking about a GTO Pontiac or something. It's really not related to what you thought you were going to read, and sadly that started to drift. That behavior started to drift over to news outlets, where a lot of times you'll see a headline and it really has nothing. I mean, it's inflammatory. It sounds really interesting, and then you read the article and not so much. So it really has forced the newspaper news organizations to do things that probably aren't that ethical in terms of presenting something that isn't what it really is. But they got to make money, and they got to make money, and the people aren't clicking on the articles, so they're not making any money. So there lies the difficulty. I think Google's done a pretty good job of reducing both the quality and the quantity of what we might call unbiased reporting. Largely because if you want clicks, you're going to appeal to somebody's bias, whether that be conservative or liberal or whatever. And that not only forces content, it forces how you structure and lead in that content. And so you really now it becomes far more difficult to make a delineation between real news and fake news, because there's so much arguably fake news now coming out of reputable media sites only because they're altering their stories in some way, shape, or form to get clicks.
Thanks, Rob. Tech analyst Rob Enderle, founder of The Enderle Group. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we all know that picking a name for your child can be difficult and possibly overwhelming. Many new parents check out the most popular baby names to see if any of those feel good, or look at the least popular to see which to avoid. Or you could do what some millennial parents are opting to do and choose your baby's name based on which website domain names are up for grabs.
There you have it.
According to a survey by GoDaddy, 20% of millennial parents have already created a website for their baby, and of those, 79% admitted they would change their child's name based on what domain names were free.
Jeez.
Furthermore, a whopping 48% of millennial parents said they believe it's important for their child to have an online presence early in life, compared to just 27% of Gen X respondents. The main reasons the parents gave for doing this was to make sure they have future job searching and college applications covered. Some of the parents also think that in the future, personal websites will become more popular than social media platforms. And so then they created them for that reason.
I was thinking that I might offer a service to millennial parents.
Yes.
In which, for, say, $10 or $20, I would slap the millennial.
Yeah, okay.
just to try to knock some common sense into them.
Gotcha, sure.
This would be agreed upon by both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Like millennials who think, yeah, maybe there's something wrong with this.
Right.
And they would welcome just a slap, just to wake them up.
I suppose.
And try to understand what's happening here.
I suppose if everyone agrees to it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Both parties
signs
agree.
Signs the proper waiver, and yeah, sure.
I'm not saying I just randomly smack millennial parents, but I'm saying, you know, right, if they agree to it and think there might be something to it,
all right,
I would offer that.
All right. Yeah. Entrepreneurial opportunity.
Change
there.
The child's name.
Yes.
Based on availability of domain names.
Yes.
Some of them would do that, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Would and have at this point already. I'm sure there are several babies out there who were, you know, picked, their names were picked based solely on domain names.
These are the people we're relying on.
Yes.
For later in life,
I believe,
when we need Social Security.
Children are our future.
Wow.
Yes.
Our future leaders.
And a North Carolina woman, Gordon, was expecting to find a package on her doorstep last week, but instead she found an unusual note from a UPS driver in her mailbox containing only three words explaining precisely why the package wasn't delivered. The note read, "Bear in driveway." According to Fox News, the woman, Asheville resident Marcy Lanier, couldn't help but laugh when she read the message and posted it on Facebook. The photo of the note went viral and has been shared over 3,000 times since Friday. Lanier, who says they get bears all the time where she lives, also said her mailbox is located at the entrance of her driveway, and it's likely the bear was standing in the middle of the driveway, blocking the front door.
Wow.
So sorry, your Amazon Prime is not going to arrive today. Now, I know this is UPS and not the post office, but
yeah,
the post office says what? It's rain, sleet,
yeah,
gloom of night. I guess bear is not in there anywhere.
Nothing about apex predators.
Yeah. As far as we know.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. Conventional wisdom on college campuses is that slackers sit in the back, while the eager and engaged hand raisers sit in the front. But those appear to be just stereotypes. New research in the scientific journal FEBS Open Bio says there is little relationship between where in the room a student sits and that student's grades. One of the co-authors of the study says students who sit in the back aren't necessarily disengaged. Instead, they may just be uncomfortable engaging in a format that requires them to interact verbally with the instructor in front of 200 people. One way teachers can engage the faraway students is to take a wireless microphone around the room. The researchers say one of the most common reasons for where students sit is to be near their friends. Those friend groups wound up with similar grades, by the way, regardless of seats. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Jordan Edwards' family is outraged by the 15-year sentence handed down to the white Texas police officer who fired his weapon into a car, leaving a house party, killing the black teen in 2017. Dallas County District Attorney Faith Johnson.
The beautiful thing about his sentence is that because he received over 10 years, he will not be eligible for an appeal bond, so he will start serving that sentence today.
Roy Oliver was convicted of murder in the case this week. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says a NAFTA deal may be reached before Friday, but only if it's also a good deal for Canada. President Trump told reporters he's optimistic about a Friday finish, too.
They're in the White House right now. We're negotiating with them right now, and they want to be a part of the deal. And we gave till Friday, and I think we're probably on track. We'll see what happens.
White House counsel Don McGahn's on the move this fall. President Trump tweeted his point man in the Mueller investigation will be leaving his position after what Trump hopes will be the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court.
To me, Senator Kaine represents what a true American is.
One of the thousands of mourners who waited in triple-digit heat in Phoenix to pay their respects to Senator John McCain. His family arrives at the Arizona Capitol this morning, and the Arizona National Guard will carry his body to North Phoenix Baptist Church. The public's welcome to line the motorcade route. Former Vice President Joe Biden, one of the people slated to deliver remarks during a memorial service. Prosecutors missed the 10-day limit for an evidentiary hearing to establish probable cause, so a district judge dismissed charges against three of five defendants tied to a New Mexico compound where alleged Muslim extremists reportedly trained children to be school shooters. Janie LaValle and Siraj Ibn Wahaj remain in custody in connection to the death of a missing three-year-old boy, Wahaj's son. Qantas Airlines wants to provide direct services to London and New York City from Sydney, Australia by 2022. Project Sunrise would create the longest flights on Earth, 20 hours or more. Boeing and Airbus have made presentations to show they have long-haul planes that can be reconfigured with bars, gyms, bunks, childcare, and of course the fuel capacity for direct flights halfway around the world.
Sounds like a party at 35,000 feet.
Let me tell you, a day-long party.
Yeah. Qantas Airlines, leave today, arrive yesterday. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Glad you're with us. An 8-year-old Florida boy wanted to raise money for a family friend who's battling an aggressive form of childhood cancer. So he and his mother went to a Home Depot for supplies to build a lemonade stand, except they received a lot more than that. Dawn Redman and her son Christian called the Home Depot store in Apopka with the hope they'd consider making some sort of donation or giving a discount on items to build the lemonade stand. They agreed to give supplies, but CBS News says when they went to pick up the supplies, they found an act of kindness instead. A big, sturdy lemonade stand had already been built for them by folks at the Home Depot. 4-year-old Silas was recently diagnosed with a rare type of cancer. Ms. Redman says as the child undergoes treatment, they need help with medical costs. The event for young Silas will be held at the Tractor Supply in Apopka on Saturday when the lemonade stand will make its debut. Friends have also set up a GoFundMe page for the boy with the goal of $25,000. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.